God, it is our heart's desire to adore you tonight. God, to learn more of you, to learn more from you, to, Lord, to submit more faithfully to you. And so, God, as we look into your word, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to the truths of it. Help us to fall more deeply in love with it. And God, that we would submit more faithfully to it. For all that we need, all that we could hope for, God, everything for life and holiness is found in your word. And so, God, we submit tonight. We ask that you would guide us as we look at it. Lord, I pray that you would open my heart and my mind, and God, your anointing would be upon your word tonight, and it would be mighty to tear down strongholds, to remind us of the great grace that's ours through your word. And Lord, we would leave here transformed by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit and your living word. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Mallory, I want to say thank you for leading us in worship this day. And it has been a joy to get to worship with you. Like I said this morning, we've known Mallory since Mallory was, what, sixth, seventh grade? Something like that was when we moved there, seventh grade. So it's been a joy and a pleasure to see her grow up and to see the godly young woman that she has become and the passionate follower of Christ that she's become and the example that she has become to many young women, to many young men, to see what it looks like to faithfully follow God. Now, I'm not saying she's perfect, okay? But she does love the Lord. If nothing else, you've been able to see that and know that today. She loves worshiping our God and loves leading in worship. So y'all be praying for Mallory, just like we all need prayer, and just that God would guide her through this ministry that he's developing and his heart for ministry that she has. He has given her a great talent. You've seen, and the song that she sang this morning, Reveal, is one that she's written. She's written several worship songs, and so God's got big things for her, and we are seeing just what God's doing. So y'all be praying for her, and we will stay in touch and hopefully have her back again sometime to just worship with us. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to Psalm 119. We're walking through this psalm that discusses and reminds us of the attributes of God's Word. This entire psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, I believe, is all about the attributes of God's Word and the importance of it, the beauty of it, the power of it. And today we're going to look at the grace that's found in it. We all like grace, don't we, when it's applied to us? We struggle with giving it to other folks. But we like grace. We like this idea of grace, this getting what we don't deserve. And the Word of God is full of the grace of God. I mean, just simply the fact that He revealed Himself to us through His Word is an act of grace. The decision to let us know the truths of Him and His character and His plan and His purpose and His faithfulness, all of it is an act of His grace, and so His Word is full of grace. And this particular section of Psalm 119 kind of focuses on that and the ability of the Word of God to revive us or quicken us. And that's the subject or the overarching idea of this particular portion of the psalm is that the Word of God quickens us. The Word of God revives us. It's full of the grace of God to empower and enable us. So if you would turn to Psalm 119, verse 25 is where we'll begin. So if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read through it, and then we'll come back and just kind of parse it out and see if we can uncover the nuggets that are there. Verse 25 says, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told you my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will strengthen or enlarge my heart. You may be seated. So again, the writer of this particular psalm is sharing and extolling the attributes of God's word, and he's writing that in times of trouble, in times when we it seems hopeless and we're heavy hearted, when things are not going well, God's word has the capability of reviving us or quickening us or giving us that jolt of energy that we need. To quicken means to excite. And that's the whole purpose of revival. You can't revive what hasn't been vived. You can't revive what hasn't been once living. And all of us have experienced times in our spiritual life, in our walk with the Lord, when we feel very close to God. And man, God is at work and God is teaching us. And man, we're just in that close relationship with God. And it seems like everything that happens, God's all in it. And God's encouraging us. And God is leading us. And we feel the presence of God. And the Spirit of God is just all over us. And we feel great. And it's what we call a spiritual high, a mountaintop. But then inevitably, there's always those seasons where we feel like God is so far away and God must not be hearing anything I'm saying. And it just seems like everything that I do is just a struggle spiritually because I don't seem to hear from God, and God's not seem to be speaking. He doesn't seem to be very intimate right now, and I don't know what happened. Sometimes it's sin and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just a season in life where it just seems like we're in that dry season spiritually. You ever been there? And that's where the psalmist is coming from now. And he's reminding us that in those dry seasons, in those times when it seems like God is so far away, and it seems like God is not hearing, and it seems like that our spiritual life is just starting to wither up, most of the time when we get to that place, we neglect the Word of God. We stop reading the Bible. We stop praying. Well, God must not be listening. I'm not getting anything out of this. And I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading, and it doesn't seem like anything changed, and it's just kind of ho-hum. I've been there. And I've counseled with folks that are there, and I've talked with someone today that's there. Says, I'm just numb. It's like I can't hear from God. I'm just here. And it's just a struggle just to be here. And it is that temptation. It is that almost knee-jerk reaction to just, well, I might as well just give up. God's given up on me, obviously, so I need to just give up. And the psalmist is saying, no, in those times of drought, in that time of valley, in that season where our spiritual life seems to be withering, he said, that's when you need to run to the Word of God more. Run to it more. Because it'll be watering and you don't even know it. It'll be taking root and you can't even tell it. And you're creating that well, you're digging that deep well. So when God gets ready, he can raise up that water that's been flowing into you, that word that's been being planted in your spirit in those dark and those dry seasons. It will take root later on. It will come up in the most amazing time, or it seems like the weirdest time, that it'll come to mind what you read and what you studied and how God's applying that, how God's working through that. It will begin to quicken your spirit. That's the answer to the dry season, is run back to the Word of God. It is what quickens our spirit. It's what revives us. Every revival that has taken place in churches, every great awakening over the centuries that has taken place, is because the people of God begin to revalue and raise up again, refocus on the Word of God. Now, prayer is important, absolutely. But prayer without the Word of God is just jabbering. And so every revival, every great awakening has been a re-emphasis on the Word of God. It's where it started. And it's the same thing for us personally. If we're going to experience personal revival, if we're going to get out of that dry season, it's got to be because we are doggedly spending time in the Word of God. And so he begins to say, and that's where he is. He says, my soul cleaves to the dust. My soul is an old saying that said, I feel lower than a snake's belly. You know, it just feels like I'm cleaving to the dust. It's just dry, and my soul is in this dry space, and there's no moisture spiritually around it. There's no flowing of the living water, seems to be, and it's just a spiritual drought. My soul cleaves to the dust. It's connected to, it's grabbing onto, it's holding on to the dust. How do I get out of this dry season? He says, he responds in the next phrase. He says, quicken me or revive me according to your word. So the answer to the dry season, the answer to breaking free and breaking through is not avoiding God. It's not walking and giving up. He says that's when you need to dig in more. So the answer to that dry season, that answer, the response of us should be to come to God's word more. It says, verse 26, I've told you of my ways and you've answered me. Teach me your statutes. Okay, God, I've told you my plans. I told you what I'm doing. I told you what I want, and you've answered me. And you've told me that I'm messing up, that my ways are not sufficient. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And I feel like it's a dry season, but God, you say that it's the time to cultivate the ground. Okay, God, you teach me your ways. Teach me your statutes. I've got my plans. I've told you what I want to do, but God, I need to hear what you want. I need to hear what you have for me. So I've told you my ways and you've answered me, so teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. He's begging God, God, I'm in this dry season. My soul is cleaving to the dust. I need you to teach me your ways from your word. I need you to make me understand your precepts. God, I'm feeble-minded, and right now I'm reading, and I don't seem to understand what you're trying to say, or I don't understand what's going on spiritually in my life. I don't understand why I'm in this dry season. But God, I need you to help me understand your word. How do I apply it? How does this, what you've led me to study, to read, how does your word apply to my situation? How can your word transform where I'm at and how I'm feeling, God? How can it quicken me? Help me understand. And oftentimes when we don't understand, we just quit because we don't understand. Instead of starting to just beg God, God, show me, reveal to me. You've got to reveal this to me. God, you've got to show me. And so he's beseeching God, he's begging God, he's asking God, teach me, make me understand. Why? The second part of verse 32, so that I will meditate on your wonders. That reminds me of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I want to flip over there. I want to read that because it's a great reminder. Because all of us go through times when we're really struggling and our mind and our feelings are lying to us, and we're really in that dry season, and we tend to focus on negative things. I mean, at the core, we're negative people. When things start going bad, we get really negative. When things aren't going well, we start getting negative. And if we're around negative people, we start getting negative no matter what the things are. And so Paul reminds the church at Philippi, look, don't focus on the negative, because the negative only brings worry and stress and anxiety. And that's where anxiety comes from, because we're focusing on negative things rather than the things of God, rather than the Word of God. So he reminds them in chapter 4, Philippians verses 6 to 8, be anxious for nothing. But in all things and everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. He says, look, don't be anxious for anything, but let God know your struggles. Let God know what you're hurting. Let God know what is your concern is. And come to Him. Come to His Word. Begin to pray to Him through prayer and supplications. through prayer and letting Him know what you're feeling, letting Him know where you're at. Be honest with God, with your hurts and your struggle and your anxieties. Those things that are beginning to eat away, those negative things that are beginning to take root in your spirit. God, this is what's happening. I need you to help me. And with thanksgiving. Instead of always praying negatively, yeah, tell Him what's bothering you, but then turn the positive and start thanking Him. God, I thank You that You, the Creator of the world, are listening to me right now. You hear every word I say. You know my heart. You know my hurt. You know my struggle. You know my situation better than I do. And God, I'm thankful that You're listening, but more than that, I'm thankful that You can. That's what it means with thanksgiving. So with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, but with thanksgiving, always reminding, always coming back to the truth that God hears, God knows, and God can. And God will in His time. So, and then the peace of God begins to guard our hearts and our minds. That is what counteracts the negativity in our life, the negative thinking, the negative things that cause the anxiety, that inner voice that says, you're a failure, God won't do this, God can't do this, God's given up on you, God doesn't worry about you. And that's all inner, that's our inner self. That's that flesh and that negativity that's there. And He says, that praying and being thankful and bringing it before God, that the peace of God will begin to guard our hearts and our minds. And then verse 8 says, finally, brethren, not just praying, not just bring your supplication, not just being thankful. He says, okay, now you got to start changing your focus. Quit focusing on the negative. Look at what He says. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Most of the things we worry about are not true. Most of the things that bother us are not true. So He says, whatever's true, whatever's true, I am loved by God. God cares for me more than I could ever know. Now I'm His child and it will never change. God is for me, He's not against me. So whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Stop dwelling on the negative and start repeating the truth of God to yourself. Pray to God. Give your supplications, your worries to God. Be thankful for He's listening, and then start changing the way you think and what you're focusing on. All right? That's how we get out of the dry season. That's how we combat the negative in our life. We change what we're thinking. We change what we're focused on. And He says, and the things you've learned from me and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Okay? Start living like God's real. Start walking by faith and not by sight. Start declaring the truth and walking in the truth. I'm a child of God. God's bigger than my problem, so I'm going to start acting like He's bigger than my problem. He's going to solve it. I'm going to trust Him to solve it, so I'm going to walk and act like it's solved. And I'm just going to go. I'm going to practice these things, and look what He says. And the God of peace will be with you. So the peace of God and the God of peace are two different things. The peace of God comes when we focus on the true things, but when we start walking in faith and walking and practicing the truth and practicing those things that are honorable and putting God's word into practice when it doesn't seem like it's making any sense or even doing any good, God's right there with us. The God of peace. See, I don't want just the peace of God. I need the God of peace to be with me. And Paul says if we will stay focused on that, and that's exactly what the writer of Psalm 119 is saying in a different way. God, quicken my spirit according to Your word. Revive me according to Your word. He goes on and says, so that I will meditate on Your wonders, shake up the way that I've been thinking. Let me start thinking. Instead of focusing on and meditating on my problems, let me meditate on Your wonders and Your strength and Your goodness. Let me meditate on those things that are good and honorable and true. But then he, again, tells the truth. He's not hiding anything. He's being honest. My soul weeps because of grief. Now, just because he's asking God and just because he's focusing on these things, God, I want to change my focus, But the reality is the inner struggle is still going on. Just because I've changed the way I think, and just because I'm looking to you and I'm studying on your word and I'm meditating on your wonders, doesn't mean my problem is going away. It doesn't mean this internal dryness has stopped. God, I'm still struggling. My soul weeps because of grief. So God, strengthen me according to your word. In other words, God, you said that you'll carry us on eagle's wings. God, I need to be carried right now. God, it's a dry season and I don't understand what's going on. This is the trouble. This is the struggle. God, I am not able. But God, I know you are. And I need you. I need you right now to be my strength. I need your mighty right hand. That's what I've been praying for my daughter. One of the things that Ainsley's gone to the Army. That's one of the things that I've been praying for her. God, let your strength be her strength through boot camp. She's going to experience a struggle like she's never faced before, spiritually and physically. And so, God, I've been praying, God, let your strength, your mighty right hand, be on her. You know, and there are times when we need, and if you've never prayed this, you've missed out. God, I cannot, but I know you can. So, God, I need you to give me the strength that I need. God's promised that. Start praying the promises of God. God, strengthen me. God, give me the endurance that I need. God, give me the patience that I need. God, your word promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, God, I'm trusting that you'll never leave nor forsake us. Strengthen me according to your word. Let your word strengthen my spirit in this dry season. In this time, let me cleave, let me cling to your promises. Verse 29 says, remove the faults away from me. God, prune me. Okay, God, I'm in this dry season. Maybe the purpose of it is to prune some things away that I've been focusing on. Maybe it's to refocus my life. Maybe it's to draw me closer to you, God. Maybe it's to cause me to reevaluate what I've been pursuing and what I've been doing. Whatever it is, God, if there's a false way in me, if it's a sin that's gotten me here, if it's an unknown sin or a passion that's been misplaced, and I begin to drift away from you, maybe it's me that's drifting and I'm the cause of this dry season. God, remove whatever that is. Remove whatever sin that is. God, reveal it to me so I can repent. My desire is to be with you. And if there's anything that I'm doing that's breaking that fellowship, that's causing this dry season, God, remove it. That's a dangerous prayer. Because sometimes it means we're giving God permission to break a relationship. Sometimes it's giving God permission to change the way we think and the desires of our heart. Sometimes it's giving God permission to prune different aspects of our life, and it's just not comfortable. It's not pleasant. But sometimes it's necessary if we're going to be revived, if our spirit is going to be quickened again. It's like Paul says to lay aside all those things that so easily entangle us. We've got them on because they're comfortable. We got them on because we like them. We got them on because it's what we've always done or always thought. And Paul says sometimes we've got to put some things away that are comfortable so that we can run the race that's set before us. And so remove from me those things that may be hindering my relationship with you. And graciously grant me your law. Graciously show me your word. God, graciously grant me the ability to follow you faithfully, to be obedient to your word. But he has a commitment. There's a commitment to God's word here. He says, I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. So he says, God, in this dry season, in this time where my soul is clinging to the dust and I'm brokenhearted because it seems like our relationship is not what it used to be, and I'm in this desert place, I'm in this spiritual dryness, God, I am choosing your word over my feelings. I'm choosing your word over what I think. So he says, God, I'm choosing you. I'm placing your word before my eyes. I'm continually going back to your word because it's the source of revelation. It's the source of revival. It's the source of quickening. It's the source of pruning. It's everything that I need is found in your word. So God, I'm clinging to your word. I'm running to your word. And so his prayer is, I'm coming to you. I'm committed to it. Oh Lord, do not put me to shame. Now that can mean one or two things. God, don't let me bring shame to you. See, oftentimes in the dry season, in that spiritual place where it just seems like we're just here and we're numb, it doesn't seem like there's any intimacy with God. A lot of times we do things that will bring shame to God because we're, instead of running to His Word, we're running away from His Word. And we stop being devoted to His Word, we stop spending time in His Word, and we start doing some foolish things trying to self-medicate. Trying to get some kind of feeling like we used to have. And sometimes we do some foolish stuff. So it could mean, God, don't let me bring shame to you in this dry season. Guard my thoughts and my heart. Guard my mind. But it could be that, God, I'm running to your word. I'm clinging to your word. God, I'm keeping it before my eyes. God, you've got to be faithful. Don't put me to shame. I know you're not going to let me down, but God, don't let me down. Don't let the people who are seeing me go through this say, well, where's your God? I thought your God was something. He must not be much. God, this is a time where your glory can shine. This is a time where people can see how you make a difference. This is a time where God, you can show out here. I'm giving you permission. Yeah. I need you. I'm doing everything I can. But God, it's up to you. I know you won't let me down, but God, don't let me down. I don't know exactly what it could be, but it could be either one of those things. And then again, the commitment, verse 32. I shall run the way of your commandments. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to put your word into practice. I'm going to walk the path of righteousness. God, I'm going to stay committed to your word. Even though it doesn't seem like you're present, it doesn't seem like you're listening, it doesn't seem like it's doing any good, it doesn't seem like that there's any blessing that seems to be happening, any power or strength that seems to be going on. I'm in this dry season, but God, I'm going to keep running the race. Hey, it's the fourth quarter. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. I'm struggling. But God, I'm gonna keep putting one foot in front of the other spiritually. I'm gonna keep moving forward. I'm gonna keep digging in your word. I'm gonna be faithful. I'm gonna keep plowing the ground. I don't know if it's gonna help. I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know when it's gonna take place. But God, I'm gonna do my part. I'm gonna keep running. And the only reason I can do it, look at what it says: for you will enlarge my heart. You will give me the strength to carry on. You'll give me what I need. You will produce endurance as I run faithfully the course that you've set before me. God, I know this season that I'm going through, this trouble that I'm going through, this dryness that I'm experiencing spiritually, God, I know this isn't what you have for me. And so God, I'm going to be faithful in the middle of it. I'm going to keep digging into your word. I'm going to keep studying your word. I'm going to keep your word before me. And I'm going to keep digging in. I'm going to keep plowing. I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm going to keep running this race, even though it's running in a place where it seems like there's no relief. God, I trust you. And you will give me the strength to endure, even the dry season. And revival will come. That quickening will come one day. I know it. I trust it. I've been here before. And so, God, I know I can trust you. There is great grace in the Word of God. There is endurance that comes from the Word of God. And so when we experience these dry seasons, when we experience this spiritual struggle where it just seems like God is so far away and God's not listening, God's not paying attention, rather than running from God's word and turning away from it and giving up on it, dig in deeper. Dig the well deeper. So when it's time and those rains of the Spirit fall upon us and God begins to refresh and to revive, we'll have a very deep well to draw from. And then God will radically transform our lives because we've gone through this drought, because we've gone through this season. Revival will come and quickening will come. Energy, excitement will come again. It's not going to last forever for the child of God. But sometimes God leads us through those places so we can see the great value of His Word, so we can see the necessity of His Word, so we can experience the grace of His Word. So don't give up. Dig deeper. Read when it doesn't seem like it's making any sense. Read. You're putting that Word in your heart. And at the right time, when revival starts to come, when God begins to quicken your spirit, He's going to bring those words, those phrases, those verses, those parables, those stories, those events. He's going to bring those back up. And it's going to be a time of great refreshing. Man, there's nothing sweeter than a drink of water when you've been practicing all day long. Man, when I was in football in high school, now kids nowadays don't know anything about it. I'm getting old because I'm thinking, okay, kids nowadays don't understand. But back in the day, you know, literally back in the day when I was in high school, way back in the 80s, we'd start practice at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We wouldn't stop practice till 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And we had one water break in that 4 or 5 hour practice. And we had one spigot of water over on the side. There wasn't no cups and no ice coolers and all this stuff. There was a water faucet, a metal pipe sticking up out of the ground with a faucet on it. And you had 40 guys lined up, water break. And you had 40 guys just running like a bunch of water buffalo to get in line. Because you knew you only had just about 2 or 3 minutes before the water break was over. And if you didn't get a sip before he blew the whistle, you weren't getting any water for the next 2 hours of practice. And man, there is nothing that tasted sweeter than that hot water coming out of that faucet after 3 hours of practice in August and 105 degree temperatures. There's nothing sweeter than the Word of God when refreshing comes after a time of drought and you are thirsty for God. You're thirsty for the presence of God. You're thirsty for the renewal of God and you're struggling. And when God finally does reveal to you what He's trying to show you, what He's trying to teach you, man, it is so sweet and refreshing. So don't waste. Don't waste that dry time. Dig, study, stay committed, stay faithful. God will do His part, and He will show up and quicken your spirit again. All right? Let's pray.